T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, boys and girls, podcast. Tim and Tausch in the morning, podcast number 25?
Sure.
24?
Yeah. Fuck it, who cares?
Tim Allen.
There's a new one each week. That's all you need to know about.
Baby Tausch, Bill Schmidt, and you're not feeling well today.
No, I've felt better, I can tell you that much. But, you know, we're hanging through. As they tell the kids in Dare, you just got to hang tough, and that's what we're doing today.
So how many drinks? Yeah, I better not go there.
I wish I could even tell you. I don't even know.
Okay, so it's
went on a booze cruise out on the river and found out it was awesome because it was like as we walked in, our buddy who booked the whole trip puts his hand on my shoulder and goes, "Hey guys, so the deal with this is it's all you can drink. So when you get up there, grab two."
Okay.
Whoa, this is all you can drink? I thought I was getting like one coupon and that was going to be it for the whole.
That's actually a good deal. So 90 minutes, roughly?
Yeah, about 90 minutes, about $30 and about 12 vodka lemonades later.
Okay, so we started out with 12.
Yeah, and then found our way over to a couple of different bars and whatever happened in there, I wish I could tell you.
No?
No.
Any women
involved?
I have
no idea. Like I said, I think I was just too drunk. I don't even really remember.
I don't get how you lose hours of your life. I get drunk. I get hammered.
Now
you know that.
Here's the question. Quick, were you there last night, Jazz?
How do you not remember that?
You were there?
Oh yeah. I was there. I was on the dance floor. We were at Red, White, and Blue. And I went and met up with a friend of mine who was there with his fiance and her friends and a handful of his friends. And apparently there's like, they've got this new thing where you spin the wheel. Apparently he got his tab taken care of. Like, he
can
Billy did?
Not me.
Not Billy. My buddy. Yeah. My buddy. His name's CJ.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I'm there and I just see this big dude in the middle of the dance floor with a big ponytail just jamming out. I'm like, no effing way is that Billy. And he's there with two drinks in his hand. And he stops and he like looks at me like he saw a ghost. And then he didn't know who it was. And then he came closer and he saw me. And I was like,
so you don't remember this?
No.
I'm glad I didn't get him like any shots of tequila or anything like that. Because he would have not been able to handle it.
Wow.
Just by looking at him.
As he was sitting over here and we were telling the story, he just goes, "Man, you were I was like, wait a sec.
I mean, I
saw you last night?"
I get fucked up. You know that.
Right.
But you always kind of know what's going on, don't you?
I knew what my name was.
I mean, it's not like I get so drunk that
he was introducing himself as Mark Tauscher.
throw a drink across the bar or anything like that.
Yeah, it was interesting.
I'm going to trust that when you get hammered, you don't do anything stupid. I'm just going to trust that.
I appreciate you trusting me like that.
Why don't you go out and experience that? The fuck?
Tim and Tausch in the Morning Podcast.
Thanks for shedding some light on that. Yeah, I appreciate
that. Hold on. Just a little couple of minutes. Get to know Christian Jaskulski.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. So you're the one on the staff that just doesn't show up for work.
Okay. I've run into some bad luck. The first one I missed, completely forgot about it.
Mm-hmm. Just forgot.
Second one, I was up in Appleton visiting a friend for his birthday. We had dinner. We had a nice little steak dinner.
Okay.
And then after that, we went out and about to Appleton.
Yeah.
And we stayed in a hotel. So
knowing full well you had to work the next day.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Got up in the morning, got some breakfast, went to Tito's car, my roommate Tito, and he's got a flat tire. Like, okay, well, could put the spare on.
Put a spare on and go.
We'll be good to go. His spare's flat. So how the hell are we going to get home? So I'm figuring out, I'm scrambling, trying to call somebody. And I call my dad. My dad finally answers. And my dad was finally on his way up.
Are these the only two times that you skipped? Now you got to be honest.
Yes, these are the only two shifts that I have missed. And those are going to be the last two shifts that I've missed. You reap what you sow. I have not. It's not good. I'm not happy about
you call
it
them
at
bullshit
all.
Or
I can I say that is a pretty fucking good story?
Just
if
that
was,
is 100% true. I have reliable resources. You can call my friends. I can give you their credentials.
How was the spare flat? Had he driven out of
it before? I have no clue. I asked him the same thing, and his excuse was, "Well, I don't know. I thought it was there." I don't know.
What did your bosses say?
I'm sure they weren't happy.
You didn't talk to them?
They didn't say anything to you, though?
No, sent my boss a text and nothing yet. But I'm sure they're not happy.
Okay.
Good for you, man.
Props
to you. That's dope.
Yeah. You must be very valuable because you need to step up.
Yep. 100%.
You need to be a model citizen from this point forward. Help this team win ball games. Right?
What team are you talking about?
Are you talking about 105.7 FM, the fan?
Yeah. Okay, I thought you meant like
team. One team, one dream, baby.
Okay, I thought you meant team as in going out, like spread the love, spread the alcohol team.
No.
This is serious talk.
I think I did enough of that last night.
Yeah, we're a club of two in this place. So, but in terms of working well together, having a good positive attitude, kissing some ass here and there probably
as Jabari Parker would say when he would struggle, it only goes up from here.
Did you think you were getting fired?
I mean, I don't see why not. But yeah, there was in the back of my mind.
It's good.
I deserve it.
I like that honesty.
There's really no excuse for it.
I mean, would have expected to be fired.
Yeah, but no, from here.
Would have
just
at least expected a text from the boss,
some sort of reprimand. Yeah. That's why I love working here. I mean,
applications are just fucking flooding into this job.
They really do. So where do you want to be then? We have Christian Jaskolski. Get to know. He's one of our colleagues.
There's right now.
The dream gig in radio. Right to
the
top.
My experience was sales for retail management for 3 years at Men's Warehouse, which was a fun job, but it was stagnant. I wasn't moving up.
Okay.
I wasn't continuing to move forward.
So sounds like you're moving backwards. So what's your dream job?
Right now?
Where are we going? Yeah.
My dream job?
Dream job in radio.
Dream job in radio would be some sort of producer doing behind the scenes with whether it's, you know, I'm doing it full-time gig here or doing a full-time gig with something like Fox Sports or
Have you shadowed our own little brother in broadcasting,
yeah,
Joe Zenzola?
He's actually been helping me out a lot with my updates. I've been coming in
With your updates?
No, I thought it was producer. No. Forget about those updates.
Yeah. Oh, and producer. Yeah,
don't let Joe help you with that.
Okay, fine.
Just in terms of executive producer.
No, I haven't really gotten much experience or much like shadowing.
I would hit up Joe, man. I really would.
Okay.
He does a great job. Mm-hmm. He does. And I'm not lying. He really does. Is the on-air stuff, you know, that some people have differing opinions on that.
But, that's subjective.
Yeah, but I would. He dots I's and crosses T's.
It's fun.
So you've never worked with Joe at all?
And the only work that I've gotten and the only, like, I guess, shadowing or experience or practice that I've received is a little bit from Billy, a little bit of verbal friendly advice from here.
Okay.
Here and there. And then...
Was I drunk for that, too?
No, 100%. Okay. No, 100% not. Actually... Actually,
you may have been.
But anyways, another experience that I've gotten is with Joe, working with my 2-minute updates, because nobody's shown me how to break it down and whatnot.
You're
going to
throw up?
Yeah.
Oh, get the garbage can over here. Get the
Holy
garbage can.
Don't are we going to get
fucking
this?
Throw up in here?
Are we fucking?
Do you have water?
Oh, my God.
Do you have water?
Nope. Oh, man. That's him. Let me just pull it closer to me. Yep.
I got it.
No, you got it over there? All
right. Right here.
Christian, you're all right if he throws up?
Thanks, Christian. Appreciate it, man. No
problem. Yeah,
you're talking on the wrong microphone, but that's fine.
That was it.
You're all done. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, we appreciate it.
Coming up, we will get to know Brewers bench coach Pat Murphy, who sat down with us earlier this week, and we had a nice chat with Pat Murphy, so we'll talk about that or hear
that. Was
that
interesting, because we were trying to do a little bit of digging, a little bit of diving.
Yeah, and he wouldn't bite.
He's a veteran.
Yeah, he wouldn't bite. He
knew what he was doing.
We were trying to get some dirt on some things, and that, well, you'll hear that. It's a nice, friendly conversation with him. Not much drama at the fan radio station
in Milwaukee
this week, although we did have you guys doing a hell of a job. You and Horvat stepped in on the NBA draft show. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, it was fun. Sparky ended up calling off sick all day, and it was a wild run. It took a lot of team members. Bart came out and did an extra 3 hours with Rami, and they were out at the Q Club, and Horvat and I went out there. Mike Maxey was down there, and then you even came to the remote, so it was good time. It was a fun time.
It was a team effort to fill in for Sparky, who had the like an 18-hour flu.
Hey, he had the flu.
It's about 18 hours
right now.
Because he was back to work the next day doing the big show, the afternoon program.
Mm-hmm.
He then was digging bushes out of the front yard,
flower beds.
So he was, and then over the weekend, he went to some festival somewhere.
That's all alleged.
I'm glad he stepped up, man. He stepped up that next day and got it done that Friday. And so he's a trooper.
Yeah.
Troop right through that thing. So, okay.
It was wild when you walked into the remote. I know I said it when we were out there. All the women in the place just, who is that man in the shades?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Call it bullshit?
Yes. That would be, yes.
At least you knew it.
Yes. Oldest guy out there, I think.
I would agree with that.
The youngest, oldest dude there.
The youngest old guy.
Right. We'll stay with that. That's not such a bad reputation.
I think that's a good reputation to have.
Over the past week or so, there's been a piece of audio getting some love and play. Love by, well, us evil guys.
Right. The bad people in the world.
Yes.
I like watching people fight.
Yes. So, longtime listeners of my radio shows over the year, going back a long, long time, one of the most fascinating and interesting and entertaining things is to check out U Sports parents in the stands. I don't know why. I'm crossing my fingers every game that I went to with my son doing his thing that there would be some issues in the stands. I don't know why I wish that, but I did.
Because you're a sick motherfucker, that's why.
Yes. And I don't want anyone getting hurt or anything, but it's just so entertaining.
Just a good jab or two.
Yeah, it's just so entertaining because people control your fucking emotions, please. Now, in this case, it was a 12-year-old or a 12U, I think, girls softball tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing got crazy.
It gets wild.
Now we'll play... Yeah, we'll play some of the audio. There's really not much you can understand in the audio. But this is what went on.
That's a good sampling of it.
That's all you need.
It's 50 seconds of this.
This is in the stands.
Why is everybody screaming?
Don't know. Hey, what's the count?
Hey, Blue, we're going to make a double switch. Katie's going to go play second.
Everyone shut the fuck up. Stop screaming.
And the best part is, right at this moment, some fat dude is like peeling himself up off the ground after getting his ass kicked for about 10 seconds.
And it's the girlfriends, the husbands, and the wives, and they're all just going. Oh, I love it. Oh, everyone's crying.
That was wild.
I've had my fair share of that.
I couldn't tell if the people that were crying, if those were the athletes or if those were the parents.
Or the moms.
I feel like if I was a 12-year-old kid and my dad is over here fighting some random dude, get the hell out of here, man. Come on.
Yeah, I would. I think I know my
just puked there.
Son would be appalled.
Oh, he would kill you.
We've had tournaments over the years that someone was hauled away in handcuffs.
Okay.
There's been a pretty decent amount of infidelity.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
During the tournament.
Over the, you go out of town, you get a hotel room, and screws come loose a little bit. And so there's hot tubs. Swimming pools and extra hotel rooms behind your wife's back.
Wow.
Where you get one just on the top floor or something.
Yeah.
And then you invite one of the other married moms.
I just want a quick fix, no bite marks, no scratches, and no hickeys.
I don't know if this is on the air yet, but I've always had this idea, well, the past 10, 15 years, to have a reality show that follows around a travel team, regardless of what sport it is.
Mm-hmm.
It could be any soccer team, it doesn't matter. But all the stuff on the sidelines, the periphery with the parents and the spectators,
sure.
And then, but not the game. Forget about the game. The game, the kids are doing their thing. But what I want is the reality cameras in the lounge
right.
after the kids go to bed.
You want security footage is what you want.
We do.
Man, and that would be wild.
Someone to follow around the dads and moms. You know our buddy Tony we go
right.
to Vegas
shit.
With.
That motherfucker, that guy dude. Was doing.
That dude.
Unfucking real.
He was thrown out of a strip joint in Lexington, Kentucky.
They have strip clubs in Lexington, Kentucky.
Good
to know.
Every corner, just about.
How many combined teeth?
Right across the street from the hotel room is a strip joint. I mean, right across the parking lot. It wasn't even across the street.
That's great.
And so he didn't realize, allegedly, that you need to pay for lap dances. So each song is whatever it was, $20.
Okay. They do get you that way.
I know they do. They do. But he sat through, you know, 7, 8, 10 songs. And then when he tried to leave, big bouncer dude says, you owe like $175. So that didn't turn out well.
I can only imagine he thought that she was digging on him, too.
His wife. Oh, of course. Of course. His wife did catch wind of his jaunt to the strip joint. This
okay.
was supposed to be I'm going down the street to the 7-Eleven getting a 12-pack, but it turned out a 3-hour jaunt to the strip joint. She finds out. She's ready to divorce him. This is all at a youth sports tournament. Love it. Loved it.
That's awesome. Now, is this the same spouse that we met on our way to Vegas?
Yes. They're still together. He's holding things
okay.
together. Yes,
okay.
he is.
Okay. All yeah, right. Is. Nice.
All right.
Nice girl.
This next piece of audio here is from our visit out to Miller Park earlier this week, and bench coach Pat Murphy and Billy and I sat down and had a nice chat. You will see that I'm trying to dig stuff out of him. Billy, we're trying to dig stuff out of him.
We're doing anything we can. I mean, the guy coached at Notre Dame and Arizona State.
Coached a bunch of college kids that get hammered at night.
Right. We were trying to get some story out of him. Craig Council played for him. Sogard played for him. I mean, damn near a third of the league probably played for that guy. So we were trying to get a good story at least one time.
Yeah, and
but
it didn't happen.
He's smarter than he looks.
No, but educational, I think, for those that have kids that
sure.
are
yeah.
climbing the
There's
baseball ladder.
There's some good stuff
ladder.
In here, for
yeah.
sure.
It's good stuff. Enjoy it. We'll talk to you afterwards.
All right, Tim and Tausch, it is the Get to Know segment of the podcast, Tim and Tausch in the Morning podcast with Brewers bench coach Pat Murphy. And, Pat, we appreciate the time for sure. And think you guys got to be freaking out here or no? Do you stay steady she goes here after 45 and 30?
Well, I'll tell you, we still see a lot of room for improvement. And I know the front office and Craig are working diligently every day in working on those things, and we don't look at ourselves as a top team necessarily. We just look at ourselves as a work in progress and keep getting better and keep our heads down. And but that one last night, that's exciting.
Man, how do you turn the page on something like that? But you have to, don't you?
Well, you'll never forget it, that's for sure, because it was legendary. But it felt like playoff baseball last night. I'm not super experienced at Major League playoff baseball, but it certainly felt like that type of atmosphere, and we got to keep going. I use that momentum and keep going, and it's hard because there's a lot of good players on the other side. No matter who we're playing,
yeah.
And I think the guys realize like, hey, this could be a special year.
And Pat, being where you've been, and like you said, not a lot of experience Major League playoff baseball, but tons of college playoffs, College World Series, being at Notre Dame, and now you're sitting alongside one of the guys that played with you or for you and Counts, and are you calming him ever down? Just like at some point he's juiced up and you got to just rein him in. Like, come on, buddy.
You know what's interesting about Counts is he doesn't get out of control ever. You know what I mean? He just doesn't.
Come on, he really doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
I see him put that hat on pretty sternly a couple
of times.
Yeah,
he gets. So. You're right. You got the cues. but he stays pretty level-headed, and he really thinks well on his feet. He really does. He pays attention to what he needs to. His ego is so in check, it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think really the greatness that he has displayed is a lot due to that. His ego's in check, and he comes to work every day as a fresh slate. It's really impressive to watch him.
We go through it a lot on the post game show, and you know, a lot of these fans are going, why isn't Council bunting more? You got to play for the run. And here, I got to answer to that. We got to answer to this. So, what do you say to the fans when you guys, the brain trust, is sitting right here where we're at right now in the dugout, and you know, it can be a shitty situation that, you know, the heads are spinning in every direction. And I got to say, well, he didn't bunt because...
Yeah, I think you got to know your team. You have to know your team. You got to know who's bunting, who's behind them, what they have in the bullpen, what the game situation dictates, where our bullpen is, where our relief pitching is at the time. And I think that, you know, it's pretty consistent. You know, there's not a lot of debate over whether we're going to bunt or not.
That's for sure.
And it's... And we've won without it, and I think that you know, you don't ever put a guy in a position to do something that he's not prepared to do, or that he doesn't want to do, or that doesn't coincide with kind of the philosophy of how we've won. So I think it's been pretty consistent. There are times for it. I mean, there's times for it.
Yeah. And, well, let me just ask you this: is there anything to this that, first of all, the game is changing a little bit?
No doubt.
But secondly. You know, my son and I were talking about this. You coach college, big time, power fives, and the whole deal. These kids come out of high school, they're middle-of-the-order guys. They're never really asked to bunt. And then they get into college, and if they're middle-order guys there...
They might bunt.
They might, and then it's a might. And now they get here, is that why these players, quote, can't bunt?
Yeah, I think it's more about... it's more about the game... It's hard to give away one of those 27 outs. You know, the game doesn't call for it very often. And the National League game calls for it with the pitchers. But for position players, like you look at our lineup today, every guy in our lineup today can leave the yard. And you just say, I don't want to give up an out for a chance to leave the yard. And I know those percentages are different. But when you hit a three-run homer, the percentages of winning the game are pretty high.
Yeah. You
know, if you just do those numbers alone. And I'm not saying the sacrifice bunt's not important. It's got to be part of your arsenal. But in our case, with our construction of our roster, it's not a huge part of our arsenal.
We're talking with Pat Murphy, bench coach for the Brewers.
We're talking about dudes that can leave the yard. Zeus does it twice last night, and it was just the first one, dude, he hit off – he could have teed it up right off the back nine. Yeah. And parks it out into the left field bullpen, and then shows the opposite field power on the off into the right bullpen on the walk off.
I think the first time in Major League history a game's been a no hitter's been broke up after the sixth with a homer, and then that same player walked it off with a homer.
Yeah.
I think this is the first time in Major League history. The guy's been incredible.
Even if it's not, who gives a shit? Yeah. No,
but if it is, and I heard this morning that it is. If it is, that's pretty special to be part of that game. You know, Jesus has got a great story. You know, that's what Major League Baseball is about. You know, this is a guy that was counted out for a lot of his career, a guy that couldn't do it. And now he's proven he can, and he's done it the hard way. He's an easy guy to coach. He shows up every day ready to go. He works his tail off, and the team is happy for him. You know what I mean?
It's the city is in love with the dude. The 24 jerseys are going to start popping up all over the place too.
I think so. And it's well deserved. The guy has paid his dues, and he's a special player.
So I got to put away my Ben Ogilvie jersey. He was number 24.
Never, General Ben. Never.
It's true. Pat, let me just ask you this. How often do you and Craig disagree? Because that's the cool thing about baseball. It's what I make a living on is there's debates. And if there weren't debates, then I wouldn't be working.
You know, since we've been around each other so much, you know what I mean? Sure, he played for me for 4 years, recruiting process, and then after that lived in Arizona. You know, our families know each other really well. We stayed in contact, long conversations. You know, I mean, we didn't take a year off. We always just were in contact and kept our baseball conversation going. So with all that being said, we disagree probably every 20 minutes. That's the beauty of it.
It is. It really is. Now, okay, so you're...
Sometimes he doesn't even ask me because he knows I'm already... He already knows I'm disagreeing with him. So he just kind of gives me this look like, I don't care what you think. You know, I'm going to do it this way.
Right. Well, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. When it would have worked your way, do you kind of give him the eye
a
little bit?
No. There's no scorekeeping in our relationship. No, we just know that we disagree often. Most times we disagree. If you bring up a subject on something, he's going to have one view and I'm going to definitely have the other view.
What do you recommend now being a former... college coach, what do you recommend to some of these younger kids and families that are, you know, watching a lot of that College World Series and they want their kids, and their kids are pretty good in the travel scene and high school scene? What do you recommend?
Yeah, I recommend being part of it. Don't try to control it. Be part of it. You know, this is a beautiful game. The greatest thing about the game, as we all know, sitting here in a Major League dugout on a beautiful day, it's about people. And just don't try to control the game. Meet the game halfway. You're going to have success. You're going to have failure. You're going to have joyous days. You shouldn't have to have too many disappointments because the game is a game of with a lot of failure result-wise. Yeah. But it doesn't have to be failure embedded in your life. It's just temporary. And it gives us a great opportunity in life. It's a very hopeful game. And I think that that's what we take away is that families, you know, just love your kid the right way. Love and discipline in that order. And just keep chugging along and enjoy the experience, because not everybody gets the fairy tale ending, and sometimes the fairy tale ending isn't what you think it is. You know, right. So it's all a matter of perspective. And I think just stay hopeful and enjoy it, and just keep loving your kids, because that's what it's about. Parenting is something that's, you know, underrated.
Oh, big time.
And the kids are going to love the game anyway. And now let's get into the fun stuff. So I have a little bit of a dark humor. So I take pride in seeing softball parents start fighting each other in North Carolina. Did you see that video at all?
I didn't. But I tell people, you know, it's like people want to know why I'm not a big soccer fan. First of all, I know soccer's a great game. But I never played it. I was never around it. And I make fun of it, and I call it no-fault athletics. Because when you're like, when you're 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, parents go to those games, and they bring their umbrellas, and they have their drinks with umbrellas in them.
Yep.
They're relaxed. Nobody's, you know, the kids kick the ball for 3 hours. Nobody wins. You know, your
they turn around like bees, just flying around.
Yeah, your kid kicks the ball twice, and you're like, "Hey, how'd you do, Johnny?"
Kicking shins all day. And,
it's fun. Nobody's mad at anybody. Nobody missed a shot because they didn't get a shot. You know,
yeah.
Kid touched the ball twice. It's nobody's fault. Nobody made an error. Nobody struck out.
Mm-hmm.
It's no fault athletics, and parents love it. Nobody's arguing. Ah, what a great game today! 0-0. I out here and drank my drinks for 4 hours, and you know.
And now the kid's gonna go take a nap, and I get an extra 2 hours.
And I'm
to
crocked.
Hang out.
Yeah.
Again, baseball. You know, parents are coming to the game, you know, armed, and umpires, you know, have security guards, and you know, it's 8-year-old baseball. So, it's the beauty of our game. You know, it's the beauty of our game where, you know, we get to fail as a young age. We get to learn lessons. It's a tough thing, and it's, I think, a lot of what our country is built on. And, I'm just proud to be part of the game. You know, it's my fourth year in the big leagues, and I'm learning every day and still enjoy it and still have the energy for it. So,
now,
it's fun.
Let's go back to college a little bit. Now, your son committed to Oregon State.
Oregon State.
And you coached at the highest level in college that you could coach at. My son's knee-deep in a mid-major, D1. How much discipline went on with these kids out partying on a Friday night, knowing full well that Murph's got them up at 7 a.m. or 6 a.m.? Did you know they were out partying?
I was aware of some cases, yes.
I mean,
he looks right at me as he says that. I know you were an issue.
Yeah.
No, it's like, you know, at Arizona State, obviously, it was known as a party school, but
no.
There was so much emphasis on being the best and being a program that was accountable to each other. So the biggest thing for me is when kids socialized, you know, you don't have to use alcohol and drugs to socialize. You can go have a good time without alcohol and drugs. You can you can, if you choose to have a beer and you're of age, you know, you can have a beer or whatever and do it sensibly and still have a great time, you know. And if you, if the kids want to have a wild time, they still can without the influence of that stuff, which leads to poor choices. And I used to tell them, guys, nothing real good happens after midnight. I mean, it's not. I mean, a lot of yelling and screaming and pretending, but there's not a whole lot of good happening. So I got them up early the next morning, so they understood that, hey, I better get all my wildness out before midnight.
Yeah.
But we, you know, players take care of players. If you're a senior player and you've been in the program and you care and you really are in it for the right reasons, you don't let that freshman or sophomore get carried away. You watch over them.
Yeah.
You invite them to the things you're going to, and you know, you learn how to socialize the right way. You know,
like, so the kid shows up, you know he's hungover. You know he is.
Mm-hmm.
The you let those guys police themselves. It's probably happening here in the big leagues, I would think.
I would think it probably happens from time to time. But I think what I used to do is I would call them in and I'd say, hey, little Johnny, it's obvious you didn't respect the workout this morning. So, you know, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to send you home, okay, back to your apartment or your dorm room or your house. And we're going to call you when we really need you in this program, whether you're going to, you know, when we feel like we can't go any further without you, then we're going to call you back.
Wow.
And the kid goes home, and then about 3 days later, his dad calls, and his mom calls, and I say, hi, Mrs. So-and-so. Oh, no, he's a wonderful kid. I love him. He made a poor decision. He disrespected the program, and now we're going to, you know, we're going to see when the time is that we can't go on without him. And then they kind of don't get it, and then the advisor calls and says, well, wait a minute, well, Johnny needs at bats, and Johnny needs innings. I'd be like, oh, it's fantastic. You know, I know he does. That'd be great. But if he's doing it with disrespecting the program, then we're not going to need it. Then finally Johnny calls, and then we say, Johnny, are you ready to understand that this program can go on without you? Then you have to kind of respect the program. So,
yeah, well
and then they get back, you know, then they get back and they're better than ever and they're mad at me, and then they get three hits in the first game and they're staring at me like, see? And I'm laughing all the way to the winner's circle. You know?
That's right. All right. I expected better. It's well put, believe me, eloquent. Like, okay, let's go back. You can tell we're trying to drag some stuff out of you, and you are hanging tough, Pat Murphy. You are hanging
what
tough.
What are you going to drag out of me?
I know that. So last night, did you rush the field as well?
No. Coaches don't rush the field.
No, okay.
You mean during the
during that little melee there?
Oh, I can't move that good to rush anything. So,
so you're not dumping the water cooler over his head?
No. But during the little melee, I know a lot of players on the other team. I coached a lot of players on the other team, so I just talked to them and said, hey.
Stand around.
Sogie's the nicest person ever, and he's never going to cause anything on purpose. He's going to play the game the right way. They all know Sogie plays the game the right way. So,
but those dudes on the other side, man, their tensions are running a little hot right now because it's a tipping point part of their year.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean. That's a tipping point for us, too. It's a tipping point for every team.
That's true.
It's all about the game today, and you got to hold it together and keep your emotions intact. And no, this is there's no fighting going on here. There's an occasional fight every whatever, but there's no fighting. We do more fighting inside than we do on the field.
You guys are like a brotherhood, man. It's pretty fascinating over the years doing this, that not just on your own team, but just in – general baseball players.
Yeah, they do. You know, the good thing is it is an individual game in a lot of ways, especially at this level, and there's a lot of nuances. There's a lot of business ends of it. There's a lot of business decisions that deal with money and that don't always favor, you know, the player or camaraderie or keeping a guy that's been a big part of the team. There's a lot of heartache right in the middle of excitement and joy. Like last night we sent down Domingo, and Domingo's been a big part of this thing. A great dude and smart dude, and he'll get it straightened out. It's hard, you know. You just celebrated an unbelievable playoff like atmosphere and a win against a rival, and then you got to send a guy down that's been with you for 3 years, parts of four, and that's really tough. So, yeah, you build that bond between each other, and I think most teams have it.
It's amazing. Billy and I do in the post game show, Pat, final thing for you. It's just amazing how Brewers fans and us to a degree are getting an education on a check every box baseball player, and it's they're rare. And I'm talking about Kane and Yelich. It is just wildly entertaining to see those guys play baseball, and they play it the right way.
And the first thing that comes to mind is the effect they have on others, because Yelich, he's just a level-headed kid that goes and plays. This kid had very little minor league experience. This kid came out of high school,
yep.
And I don't know how many minor league games he played, but not many. And he's been performing at the top level in the big leagues every single year. And then a kid like Kane, I mean, he's the ultimate, I call him a cliffhanger. This kid, it ain't pretty all the time. It ain't beautiful. He just battles every single pitch. The best single competitor I've been around in the big leagues. This guy is an unbelievable testament to our GM, recognizing in that it's just not about talent. It's about that vibe that he brings to this team and how he affects others. I mean, he's truly a leader by how he goes about it. He's worth every bit of the money. The fans that complain, we gave him this, we gave him that. I don't care what the numbers say, and I think the numbers are great, like usual. This guy brings so much more. This guy brings so much more. And Yelich the same way. Those are two acquisitions that, you know, in my mind solidify who our people are making the decisions. I mean, it's really, really special.
It sure is, man. It's just amazing. Now, I still want to get a little lineup.
Dirty, yeah.
No, that's okay. I gave up on that.
Put that one into the drawer.
No, I asked Counts last Sunday when we were talking about offense and lineups, and by the fact that you do move Kane down to three, why wouldn't you against right-handers go with a left-right-left in a Yelich-Kane-Shaw?
We could.
And you said you guys have talked about
it. Yeah, we could. But we look at the other team, who they have to get our guys out. We're going to see a lefty in there at some point for Yelich or for Shaw or for Thames. Mm. We're going to see a lefty in there. So some teams don't have the access to do it, you know, 7, 8, 9 in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning. And putting those guys together. And by the way, when we get down to postseason, if that ever happens, if we get down to postseason, they're going to have to hit left-handed pitching.
Oh, yeah.
So our kind of maybe the one time Counts and I agree on lineup is put your best hitters that can do the most damage towards the top so they hit the most.
Right.
You know what I mean? And stop trying to, you know, just strategize everything, you know, how the other team's going to do it. It does matter who they have in their pen, what kind of lefty they have in their pen. But other than that, put your best hitters at the top. Let's roll.
Murph, always a pleasure, man.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it. Yeah,
I appreciate you guys, your attitude, man. And I joke with you guys a lot off the air. And I appreciate you understanding that it's out of love, not out of, you know.
For sure we do. And, you know, that's the thing. Guard's up with media. We all know that. We've talked about that. But I think doing this 13 years, and knowing Counsel for a good many years also, I think they've known to trust us a little bit, or at least me and this show with Billy. I think so. So maybe you could spread the word.
I'll spread the word.
Pat Murph, thanks.
All right, thank
appreciate
you.
It, man.
Thank you.
All right, there he is, Pat Murphy, the Brewers bench coach, and some interesting stuff there. I thought that was kind of fun, but again,
there's definitely some stuff that parents want to know if your kid's trying to play youth baseball.
For sure.
Because there's always the guys that are living through the kid and trying to make, well, Timmy got a scholarship, man. D1, bro. D1.
Yeah. Well,
cool. You're not on the team, so get the fucking sweatpants off.
Yeah. Dad.
Guy's got his whole fucking travel gear set. Well, this is what they walk through the airport, bro. They're rocking
these.
These
are the sweatpants
awesome.
They wear.
Don't give a shit. You're not on the team.
Plus,
sorry, is that kind of harsh?
No, not at all. I think that's putting it lightly. These fucking idiots, they're crazy.
Some of them are just insane, man.
I've seen them all. Honestly, I've seen them all. Parents, you know, do what's best for your kid. It's a fraction of a percentage that get to go do what Chris Bryant is doing.
Mm-hmm.
The odds are, those of you listening to this podcast, I mean no offense by this, your kid ain't going to be a superstar in the big leagues.
No.
I'm more right than I am wrong.
There's a better chance that your kid plays their last competitive sporting event, organized sports, at the age of 14 than 24.
Probably. Now, that being said, I won't refrain from having kids chase their dream either.
Mm-hmm. No way.
I, for all the money I invested in my son and all that stuff, it's just they're distracted. A 15-year-old boy. Think about that. Think about you guys as 14, 15-year-olds. I remember me. Hell, I was arrested at 15. I mean, so I wasn't that kid that was good in sports. So sports is a definite distraction
for
from
sure.
Temptation.
Keeps you off some bad shit, and at some point also teaches you a lot about yourself.
Well worth the money. Now, mm-hmm. that being said, with money, so you get to walk on at a Power 5 baseball school or a Division 1 baseball school, yet you don't get the big scholarship. Baseball, they can split it up the way they want to split it up.
For sure.
And so they'll throw you a bone. Here's $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
Here's $2,000 for your year at college ABC.
But when you're sitting at the table with your jersey on in high school and your high school coach is sitting there and the TV cameras are there, they don't know the number figure. They just see you writing.
They just see, I committed to yep. Arizona State.
Yep. All they see is the signed signature, and that's all it needs to be.
After
for
one,
that kid,
after
I guess.
1 year of going into debt, not playing baseball, and being completely frustrated with the situation, they come back home to a Division II, III, or a junior college, which is where they should have started out in the first place. Transfer all the credits, move up. Instead of going up and moving down, start low and then move up. I don't know. I've seen it happen. I've seen the nightmare scenarios where these kids come out of, at least in baseball. Now, I can't talk in football. These kids come out of their first year of college at a huge school. And it was, as you said, the dad was all decked out in Arizona mm-hmm. State stuff, and the kid is walking around with the Arizona
High
Committee.
You got a big, you know, graduation party. The cake has a big logo of the Sun Devils on it and all that good stuff. Yeah.
That's
so
right.
it comes to the point of where you want to be able to show it off. But in baseball, like you were saying, these rosters are so big for these college teams.
You don't play.
You're not going to play.
You don't play, and you get frustrated, and you come back, and you enroll at Madison College.
And for sure, it can be the same thing with football. I mean, hell, the rosters are huge, and there were a lot of guys that never played in a full four-year career because that's just how many guys are on a team.
The number one thing, in my opinion,
but you will know
that sports did. Well, there's twofold here. One is it keeps the kids out of trouble. They're not out selling weed. They're not out breaking into cars. They're not robbing banks. They're not doing all this because there's no time to do that.
No.
That's a cool thing, a cool distraction, mm-hmm. and it's healthy, too. It keeps them in great shape. You got to watch the way they sleep and what they eat and all that stuff. It's phenomenal. It's really cool. Then the other thing is the education. Get yourself an education and pay as little as you can for that education.
For sure.
Through sports. Let sports pay for that.
For me growing up, college wasn't a goal. It was an expectation. You are going to go to college.
And that's what your parents said?
Right. So you might as well do something about it and might as well make yourself some money for it.
Yes.
And that's where sports did come in.
Pretty simple. Pretty simple. And Pat Murphy said it was all about the kids and the love of playing. And
I think it's
about staying out of trouble and getting a free education, or at least as free as you can get. Even
but
if
it
it's
should
books.
Also, like we said, all of this comes down to the kids enjoying the game.
Have to enjoy the
you
game.
You can't play it this long and not enjoy it. So that's a given. We're not saying these kids need to do this as a job. We're saying if you're going to enjoy it this much,
there's kids that
go
have
all out and get a little profit off of it.
Kids have. There's one kid in particular that has called me just recently, and just he is so soiled, rotten, hates the game, and he had so much success doing the game as a kid, you know, 8, 9, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18 years old, had so much success. One of the star players and got his write up in the papers all the time and made this, Wisconsin State list and ranked 24th, whatever the fuck it was. I don't know. He is so soiled from all those good times because of his father.
That's sad, man.
Because of his fucking dad. I don't know, man. It's painful to me. I mean, it's so tempting, and you'll find this out when you get a kid. It's so tempting to get wrapped up into it, though. My son was the first-round draft choice for the Little League, pick a team.
Right. And I was also the first fucking pick in the Parkview Parochial League in fifth grade.
Were you?
Awesome.
Were you
in fucking basketball? Yeah.
In basketball?
In basketball.
Why aren't you going pro?
I don't cling that shit to my resume.
That hey, should man. Be hanging on the wall.
Yeah, it should be. It should be. Well, and no, and then, but there's the thing. You don't start off, shit, Billy's the best basketball player out at his school. He might go to school. He might go to college for it.
Yeah.
He ain't playing fucking college basketball. He's 6'4 and fat.
You're not going to probably play
not
college
playing
basketball.
College basketball.
Could you be a two-sport athlete at a junior college that has football and basketball?
Sure, maybe.
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 I do have a wet jumper.
Pay a lot less for school.
Mm-hmm.
Transfer those credits in off the associate degree. Transfer those into a university somewhere. Huh?
But all in all, just what saying. We're talking about is getting a degree and setting yourself up. That's yeah. what is most important with. And you learn so much about that. And the people around you playing the sports and being a team guy.
6%.
Or girl, sorry.
I had heard 6% of all high school baseball players in the country go on to play college baseball.
Sounds about right.
Only 6%.
Sounds about right. I think it was 4% for football.
Now think about, five, yeah. think about how many of the colleges, what percentage of college baseball players go on to play professional baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just the odds are stacked against you. Get an education. We're too nice today. We're way too nice
this
today.
This has been different, and I think enlightening. So I'm going to try to be not as hungover next week.
Yeah, you are
and
hurting.
Then we maybe will be a little bit funnier.
You are hurting.
You're Does it be... sound like it?
It just, not really, no.
Okay,
but
good.
Just
because I pride myself on being a performer and performing under pressure.
Right.
Adversity builds character.
You gonna do your Adrian Houser right. over there in the garbage can?
Dude, I really thought I was going to. Just there when we were talking to Jazz, there were two things that made me throw up. And one of them was being very, very hungover.
What was the other?
Ah, we'll get to
that. That other stuff? Oh, that's off
yeah,
the air stuff?
Yeah, that's off
That'll
the air
get
stuff.
Podcast poll?
Yes, yes. I think it would flirt with disaster.
Okay.
And we just had our boss in here last week, so he indeed enjoys it.
All right, we will get to know one of you guys. We're still sifting through some options, get to know segment
and,
of one of our podcast listeners.
And we're sifting through some ideas of what we're going to do in the get to know Tim Allen and Bill Schmidt segment.
I don't know if I should be there or not.
I'm bringing up the idea that I want to set it up like as a roast.
I don't want the roast.
And we bring in like three
it's
guys.
It's a get to know. It's not a roast.
But it'll be funnier if it's a roast.
Nah, not to me. All right. Have a great week. We will talk to you again. Tim and Tosh in the Morning podcast next Monday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.